to call this meeting to order. Today is Friday, March 22nd. The time is 3:19 p.m. This is the House Labor and Commerce Committee. Before I begin, I'd like to introduce my committee aide, Ashley Strauch, who just walked out the door, but she'll be back, I'm sure. Our current House and Labor Secretary, I can't read that, Taylor Kelly.
Sophia Tenney.
And Madison Truitt, although your name isn't on here, but I know who you are. Present today is Representative Tallarico, Representative Hannon, Co-Chair Ledoux, and myself, Chair Wohl. We do have a quorum to conduct business on Friday afternoon. That's great. We are the Labor and Commerce Committee, and we're not afraid to work on Fridays. Several items on the agenda today. We'll start with a confirmation. We have to do a little house cleaning. We have a confirmation hearing for Alcoholic Beverage Control Board member Chris Cross, then with her HB 79 related to peace officer and firefighter retirement benefits, and hold public testimony on this bill. But before we begin, we have some housekeeping with some bill numbers from last meeting. During the meeting on Wednesday, March 20th, the committee intended to move HB version 31-LS0346/M out of committee and instead moved version A. So now we must bring HB 48 back before the committee to vote on the correct version to move from committee. I'll entertain a motion to rescind the committee's actions and bring back HB 48 before the committee. Co-Chair Ledoux.
I move to rescind the committee's actions on Wednesday, March 20th on HB 48 to move the bill on the committee and bring HB 48 back before the committee.
Seeing no objection, HB 48 is before the committee. Are there any questions or comments regarding the current version of the bill? Seeing none, Co-Chair Ledoux, will you make a motion to move HB 48 out of committee with the correct version number?
I move to report HB 48 version 31-LS0346/M from the committee with individual recommendations and the accompanying zero fiscal note.
There being no objection, HB 48 is reported from Labor and Commerce Committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign this paper. The committee back to order. We are going to proceed with the governor's nominee for the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. Members have received the appointee's application. The appointee's on the phone and is willing to testify. Mr. Cross, can you hear us? Are you on the phone? Mr. Cross, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, thank you. Can you state your name for the record and present your testimony to the board, to the committee here?
My name is Charles Cross, and I'm sorry, what else did you ask for?
Well, do you have any statement about your desire to be on the Alcohol Beverage Control Board?
Thank you. My name is Charles Cross. I was born and raised in Nome, Alaska. My family's from Nome, Kotzebue, and Elam. I spent my formative years there. I graduated high school from Diamond High School in Anchorage. I attended the university in Fairbanks. At the age of 23, I was hired to be an Alaska State Trooper, where I did that for 20 years. I retired last September, just a few weeks ago, I was hired by the North Sound Economic Development Corporation, where I'm the HR director. I have a vested interest in the welfare and well-being of my region and all of Western Alaska, for that matter. I think that my experience and my life experience, training, is a good combination for me to add and serve on this board to review all the matters that come before the board, and to represent the public in decisions made for it. So.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Any questions from anyone on the committee? Representative Hannon, then Representative Ledoux.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Cross, could you just tell me your views on the job of serving on the Alcohol Beverage Control Board? There's a proposal from the governor to do away with the board, and I'm curious as to whether you have an opinion on that and what you see the role of the ABC board doing.
Through the chair, my views on the board, I think it's very important for members of industry, representatives from government and from the public to be involved in decision-making processes that include applications, licenses, and that sort of thing for something as volatile and commercialized as alcohol is. So I have not given the governor's proposal any consideration. Having not read anything about it or had any discussions about it, I think it's vital that a board like this exists to play a hand in that. So, and as far as what the board does, I believe we're brought in to be objective, and different parts of our state are brought in. Industry certainly wants to have a say in how things work. Enforcement certainly has a voice in how things work, and a member from the public. And I was a part of enforcement. I was in the Western Alaska Alcohol and Narcotics Team out as an investigator, and later on I promoted and I moved back to that unit as the supervisor, where I supervised investigators from Barrow to Kodiak, and part of our duties was to investigate bootlegged alcohol, and so it's very important for a board like this to be involved in who has licenses to distribute, manufacture a substance like alcohol.
Follow up.
One more question. Thank you, through the chair. You certainly have experience in law enforcement and a background, and Western Alaska happens to be one of the parts of the state that seems to exercise with more frequency the right to local control, local options to be dry or damp. And could you share your viewpoints on that and the ability for local options to be exercised with regard to that kind of control over industry and their communities?
Through the chair, I do believe that, and I grew up in a village that did not have local option, and then when the ability came about, exercised that option, and I was I saw firsthand some of the devastation that occurred when a substance like alcohol is abused, and it doesn't happen all the time. However, I think a community certainly needs to have that level of authority, just as the state wants to have some authority over substances like alcohol or marijuana, although the board I'm going on to have anything to do with marijuana. I think when you're talking about very small communities where one large party in one house can affect the community for days, I think the, a measure like local option is very important, and that's my view on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Ledoux.
I'm just curious about a few things. What is a financial coach master?
Through the chair, I went through some training through the Ramsey Group, and I completed a lot of online training to include, it's a bunch of online training, essentially to get me very familiar with all aspects of personal finance. And Financial Coach Master Training is a program that I paid for and went through and I use to help people with their personal finance and their life goals.
Follow up,
Representative Ledoux.
Is this something that you do as a hobby, or is there remuneration involved in it?
Through the chair, when I initially began the process to attain this training and certification, my thought process was to have that as a side business. And last year, actually, I obtained a business license for it, it became clear to me that I am much more interested in volunteering my time with financial coaching than I am charging people for it. I have not made money off of this. And I instead volunteer my time to organizations and institutions like the jail and schools.
Thank you. Can I ask just a couple more questions?
Sure, Representative Ledoux.
So I lived in Kodiak for a long time. When were you in Kodiak?
Through the chair, yes, ma'am. I moved to Kodiak in November of 2000, and I left in April of 2006.
Same time.
Yes, ma'am.
Then just one further question. It's sort of interesting that you list proficiency in French. How did you gain that proficiency?
Through the chair, I had a lot of motivation to learn French. I met a young lady at the university in Fairbanks who was from France, and during a conversation, she suggested maybe I should learn it. I took that as a hint. Started taking classes, in fact, we just celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary yesterday. So that's why I speak French, because it was important to a girl I liked, and now our children speak French.
They say that's the best way to learn a language. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Just a couple questions. So the board has a rural seat and they have a law enforcement seat. Do you see you both have a law enforcement background as of very recently, and also a rural background? Do you see any redundancy by your past, your history?
That's an excellent question. I don't necessarily see that as redundancy. More than I see it as a rule seat with understanding reasons why. I've had plenty of contact with citizens as the trooper sergeant in Nome. I've had plenty of contact with citizens angry that we're not doing something about the bootlegging, and after I educate them on how the process works, that we can't just open bags and take people's stuff, and that we rely heavily on the public's help, that's when we get some understanding. And if you have somebody with enforcement background who's from the region on a board, there's lots of reasons why knowledge behind the issues. And I think rather than me being a former trooper and a rule seat, I see it as a rule seat with some exposure to the reasons why.
Thank you. I guess you know, there is a rural seat, and there's a lot of problems with alcohol in rural Alaska. Everybody knows, and you have probably a very good firsthand experience on that. Obviously, you'd be overseeing a board that has over 1,000 licensees, and many of them are in urban centers and operating businesses. Do you think you can look at the situations that come up through different lenses and not necessarily your experiences in Nome?
Yes, sir. I believe every community is unique upon itself and has its own relationship with alcohol. And sometimes there are different communities inside a town that has a different relationship with alcohol. And so I am able to compartmentalize the real issues in rural Alaska surrounding the abuse of alcohol and applications for sale licenses in road system locations.
Okay. And you said you went to high school in Anchorage and then went to university in Fairbanks?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you ever take a drink?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just checking. fair question, I think. Any issues coming before the board, or do you know of any issues that you think are big before the alcohol board right now?
None that I am. I mean, besides what was brought to my attention a bit ago about the some topic about the governor wanting to do away with it. I'm not familiar with any burning issues. So, to answer your question, no.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I think that position of doing away with the board is kind of been shelved. So I think there will be a board. And thank you for calling in today and testifying. There's some of your law enforcement brethren in the room, and they're going to testify on HB 79, which is a defined benefits bill that you just retired after 20 years. So you probably are a higher tier than the people they're looking to affect with this bill. But thank you for calling in today, and we will take action to move you out of this committee at some point here. I don't know if it's on my script today, but you'll be moved on to confirmation process on the House floor. But thank you, Mr. Cross, for calling in.
Thank you, sir.
That takes us to HB 79. This is our second hearing on the bill. Representative Kopp and his staff, Ken Truitt. Oh, I'm sorry. One second, please. I have to open public testimony on Mr. Cross. Public testimony. Anyone here to testify on the confirmation hearing of Mr. Cross, Charles Cross, ABC Board? Seeing, hearing none. Closing public testimony. Representative Kopp. Mr. Truitt, I'd like to join us at the table and continue the presentation. I'm sorry, last meeting we had a little hurried end. So today we can hear your bill a little more and have public testimony and invited testimony.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Chuck Kopp, State House Representative for House District 24. I have with me my staff, Ken Truitt. Mr. Chairman, just kind of in summary, last presentation of the bill, we gave an overview. I think walking through it, we saw this is truly a hybrid bill. It is not anything this state has seen before in the sense of a defined benefits bill. It has multiple levers that keep unforeseen risk very well contained, both in the delay of taking the retirement until you're 55 years of age, keeping the health retirement account from Tier 4, limiting post-retirement pension adjustments if the plan becomes less than 90% funded, and the ability to increase the employee share also in the contribution if the funding, if the ARM board determines the those contributions are not sufficient. The numbers of checks in this bill, we believe, really redefine what a defined benefit plan looks like going forward. There are, Mr. Chair, things that are certainly less than ideal for all sides, which were highlighted last week, the delay in being able to draw. But it is those things that actually make the numbers work, that keep the state's unfunded liability to an absolute minimum. We believe that if there is a plan that can exist where it's near, about impossible for it to fail, this is it. And it gets us to where employees can have a surety in the future of a cash benefit payout, a health plan that will bridge them to Medicare, and also, Mr. Chair, for their spouses, people that are doing life's journey with them, should something happen to them, that there's also that certainty for them. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Did we go over your full presentation last meeting to your satisfaction, or was there anything at the end that we didn't get to? I know it was kind of rushed.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I believe what we did. The only thing that we kind of rushed through were the four other states and their experiences right. With these types of plans, but we were still able to hit the high points on that. And those states that have transitioned to these have seen a remarkable turnaround in the stability of those plans. And Mr. Fournier is online if we need to get into those. But I think other than that, we're ready to go in the testimony, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Okay. I remember we had that come up at the end, and we kind of flipped through those four states quickly. Does anyone have any questions on the committee at this point? Representative Hannon.
Thank you. Through the chair. Representative Kopp, you said something that was one I hadn't thought about, but spousal coverage. Is the spousal coverage for health retirement account access the same age? Let's presume the covered employee has a spouse that's older than them. Are they able to access the HRA once they reach the Medicaid coverage age, or do they have to wait for the member to reach it?
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, the spouse's eligibility is tied to the actual employee. Once the employee is eligible, their partner is eligible.
Okay.
Follow up.
So the follow-up. So if the spouse was substantially younger, they would still get it at the point that the covered member received access to the HRA.
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Kopp, can you just further define when you said when it's less than 90% funded, can you explain that in closer detail what exactly that means?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the funding of the plan, whether it's 100% funded, 90% or 80%, is determined by the actuaries, who determine that the amount of contribution coming into the system is enough to generate the projected load going out into the future. And so that those actuaries are doing reanalysis on a very regular basis. Alaska's kind of learned its lesson about any delays in that. And so the ARM board, I believe, and I'd have to defer to Mr. Truitt, I think they reevaluate that every year. And so if a projection comes in at under 90%, that's when the levers come into play for course corrections.
And that would be when the employee would contribute more, or what lever gets moved when it's below 90%?
So there are, and I would refer the committee to this orange chart here. I'm not sure exactly which tab it's under. But the levers are employee contributions, which can be increased by the board from an 8% contribution up to a 10%. The other levers are the cost of living. Of course, the cost of living adjustment is actually removed in this plan, but the post-retirement pension adjustment, Mr. Chairman, is withheld if funding is less than 90%.
The employer contributions can For the record, Ken Truitt, Mr. Chairman, to further answer your question, the employer's contribution can also be raised, and that's tied to when the employee's contribution gets raised, should it need to be raised.
So if it falls below 90%, both the employee and the employer will contribute more, or it's different time? Is it automatic they both kick in more, or is there variables there?
I believe there are some variables, and I would defer to my my good staff person here.
Okay. Yeah, for the record, Ken Truitt. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 90% threshold is specific. Is a specific lever to the PPRA. So, if after the ARM board goes through its actuarial reevaluation according to the schedule that it does, and they find that there are deficiencies or accruing liabilities again, that's when the adjustments would be made to both the employee and the employer contributions.
Okay. So until the fund is back up, and those could be adjusted down again. Okay. And that analysis every year they look at the ARM board does.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Also, I would say that the employer contributions under this are statutorily set the same rate they are now. So this doesn't allow for them to the employer ranges between a low of 12 and a high of 22.
Right.
And right now the high actually that they're just set at 22.
Okay. Thank you. I guess we're ready for testimony. We have people in the room, and a lot of people in Anchorage and Fairbanks, too. So we'll start, I guess, open public testimony. I often forget to do that, opening public testimony. And we'll start with some people in the room. We'll jump around. We have Paul Miranda. State your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Paul Miranda.
And your affiliation?
And I'm testifying today. My affiliation is with the Alaska Professional Firefighters Association. I'm also an 8-year firefighter paramedic with the Anchorage Fire Department and a Tier 4 member. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to testify before you today. I'd also like to say thank you to Representative Kopp for introducing House Bill 79, and thank you to Chairs Wohl and Ledoux for hearing the bill. There exists widespread support for House Bill 79 in our organization of over 500 professional firefighters and EMS personnel across the state. Out of respect for the committee's time today, we've asked our members to submit letters of support to the committee as opposed to all individually testifying in support of this bill. However, I believe there will be a number of folks calling in as well. In 2006, Alaska began placing all state and municipal employees into the new defined contribution plan known as Tier 4. Since the change to Tier 4, our state has experienced many unintended consequences. Perhaps the most clear consequence is the competitive disadvantage Alaska now faces in recruiting and retaining public safety employees. The problem is widespread throughout Alaska's fire and police departments. It has been brought to our attention in many letters from fire and police chiefs from across the state. Alaska is one of the only states in our country to offer a mandatory defined contribution retirement plan for public safety employees, and several jurisdictions across the country have switched from defined contribution plans back to defined benefit plans specifically to address the problems that we are now seeing in Alaska. Another unintended consequence from the switch to Tier 4 that is now apparent is the lack of retirement security that Tier 4 provides for public safety employees who dedicate a career to serving Alaska in jobs that take a very physical and mental toll. For years, our professional actuary has told us that Tier 4 will be inadequate for public safety and retirement. However, this has now been validated by testimony of the state investment officer at a recent Alaska Retirement Management Board meeting, as well as additional predictions from the Department of Administration. There's no longer a question of whether or not Tier 4 works for public safety. To make it worse, most firefighters in Alaska do not receive Social Security or SBS. For Alaska's firefighters, police officers, and correction officers, the state of Alaska contributes less to our Tier 4 retirement accounts than a Social Security contribution. Let that sink in. This is the value that the state has placed on our first responders. House Bill 79 aims to make Alaska competitive in the hiring and retaining of public safety employees. It is a conservative plan built by incorporating the best practices of some of the most successful plans in our country. It works to provide reasonable competitive benefits at the same time protect the state from adverse experience. It starts out by being built on a 7% expected rate of return. This is lower or more conservative than the current rate of return that the Arm Board uses. Next, it mandates a minimum retirement age of 55, eliminates the COLA benefit provided in the old defined benefit tiers, allows the employee contribution to be adjusted up to 10% from the 8% minimum, and calls for steady, consistent employer contributions. It allows the withholding of the PRPA if funding should fall below 90%, uses a high 5-year average as opposed to high 3 for benefit calculation, and lastly, uses the Tier 4 health reimbursement arrangement account as opposed to providing full pre-Medicare coverage as in the previous tiers. All of these tools and benefit modifications contained in House Bill 79 help to provide a reasonable and conservative retirement plan for public safety employees, reduce risk for the state, and most importantly, make Alaska competitive in the recruitment and retention of public safety employees. This is a bill that both management and labor strongly agree on. Becoming competitive will help Alaska's public safety agencies retain highly skilled employees and better fulfill their missions and responsibilities to the communities they serve, as well as preserve important dollars being lost when employees leave our state. The Alaska Professional Firefighters strongly support House Bill 79 and recognize that it is a good compromise to address the issues that public safety faces in Alaska today. We cannot afford to do nothing to address these issues. The costs are too great. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Miranda. Thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Seeing none. I realize we have a lot of people that called in, so you probably got the long testimony of the day. I'll call a few more people in-house, and then we'll go to the phones. Captain Sean Case. For the phone people, I'm going to limit it to 2 minutes. If everyone keep them short, otherwise we'll be here well into the evening, but proceed, Captain Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Sean Case. I'm a captain for the Anchorage Police Department. I want to talk about recruitment first. Recruitment is something that the defined benefit bill could help us out with. Many employees, when they apply for jobs, they look at the benefit packages that are active within those types of organization. Having a retirement package that allows for a defined benefit attracts future employees. In Anchorage, we're having a little bit difficult time attracting employees right now. Our last two academies, our intake was 35% lower than what we've seen in the past. It also helps with retention. Generally, in previous generations, packages such as wages and benefits don't necessarily keep employees as much as it does for getting them in the door. But as we see with our current workforce, they start to care about packages and benefits such as retirement to stay around. Many of us know from our employees that we have working right now currently that they are much more portable than what they were in decades previous. And one of the ways that we can keep these portable employees within our agencies is by giving them a real incentive to stick around. And one of those incentives is to have a defined benefit package. On top of that, I just kind of want to talk about how having an increased workforce can benefit. In law enforcement, one of the things that we can positively impact crime, and I will say this with a disclaimer that we don't generally like to go out and say that we are the cause for crime to increase or decrease, But what I can tell you, one way that we do impact crime is when officers are available on the street to do officer-initiated activity. That would be those activities where the officers are driving from call to call, and they see something happening, and then they take an intervention type of action. Stolen vehicles would be one of those areas that I can use an example. We have an increased workforce than we had over the last couple of years. We've added detectives, patrol officers, and we've put an increased emphasis on this particular crime. We've seen a 66% decrease in stolen vehicles from February 2018 to February 2019. And that's a direct reflection of having that increased workforce. And the last thing that I want to mention when it comes to the men and women that have decided to take the oath to serve as law enforcement officers, we have a tough job. It's mentally and physically taxing. Over the last 7 years, I can tell you that the use of force rates have increased by about 37% within the Anchorage Police Department. And I tell you that to let you know that what that indicates is that the violence on police officers, not only in Anchorage but throughout the country, has been increasing. And that becomes not only taxing on us physically, but mentally as well. And I think that as a community, it's very beneficial that we provide a retirement system to these employees that dedicate their life to public service, where they know what the benefit is going to be at the age in which they retire. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your testimony. Seeing no questions, I will go to the phones. Jody Heffrick in Anchorage, are you on the line?
Yeah, this is Jody Heffrick, Anchorage Fire Department.
Thank you, Jody. I'm going to limit your testimony to 2 minutes, and if you could state your affiliation and your testimony, that'd be great.
Good afternoon. This is Jody Heffrick. I am the Fire Chief at Anchorage Fire Department. I appreciate Representative Kopp taking on this very difficult task. This is a really big issue for public safety, as you've already heard from your two previous speakers. The effect it has on Anchorage Fire Department has not, so far, been on the recruitment or the retention side. It's definitely been on the recruitment side. Prior to Tier 4 implementation, we would get 800 to 1,000 applications each year for firefighter positions. That was just for the opportunity to test with Anchorage Fire Department. Our most recent test, which we published just as much, we marketed just as much, we only received 305 applicants. The majority of those applications are from people within Alaska. Our number of out-of-state applicants has dropped off significantly, as have our in-state applications as well. As a parent of two children who are looking at the emergency services as a career, I don't encourage my children to look at jobs here, as even with Anchorage Fire Department. The pay is well, but for long-term financial health of them, this is not the place. It really isn't, because their defined contribution, the defined contribution plan, will not help them in the future. We have seen this with people who we're now competing with departments, especially on the West Coast, who have a much better package. And even if they don't pay as well for an hourly rate, the fact that they have that defined defined benefit plan is taking employees away from us. In the past, Anchorage Fire Department, people never left the department with less than 5 years on, and now we are seeing that at a significantly increased rate, and it's causing us some significant issues. As I provided a letter to Representative Kopp that detailed the cost to the community of Anchorage for this, and it is way higher than it would be if we were just paying for the defined if we went back to the defined contributor benefit plan.
Thank you, Jody. I have to cut you off, but thank you for your testimony, and we'll move on to the next one. Thank you for calling in. Next, we have Patrick Vaughn from Juneau. Patrick, you on the line?
Yeah, this is Patrick.
Can you state your name and your affiliation and your testimony, and we can give you 2 minutes to testify.
Yes, absolutely. My name is Patrick Vaughn. I'm a resident of Juneau. I currently work for the Juneau Police Department. I've spent 8 years of about 8 years as a law enforcement officer, 5 years in Alaska, 3 years in Oregon. I can say, because it's affected me and I've been there, Oregon and Washington have a very competitive defined benefit plan. When I was in Oregon, I didn't contribute to it. It was state and employer funded. So all that money went in my pocket, and I was able to use that money to do an auxiliary retirement system, things like that. I just wanted to bring that up just simply because we are talking about comparables, and we're talking about the competitive job atmosphere, trying to bring people in from out of state. Well, you know, I think everybody present and on the line knows that, you know, we're just not competitive right now. You know, law enforcement people, there's a kind of a running joke that says we age in dog years, about seven for every one, just because of the stress and stuff. And I can't speak to firefighting specifically, but they also, there's been statistics thrown out that say the average life expectancy of an officer is less than 60 years. Well, that means if I can pull my retirement at 65, I may not even see that. Just an example, here recently, I was purposefully struck by a vehicle and assaulted with a vehicle. I, in my eight-year career, have been struck by a DUI driver in my vehicle. Both those incidents, I was not able to return to work for a couple weeks. I've been punched. I've been punctured with used needles, had foreign bodies, foreign objects in my body. And that just kind of speaks to, you know, this is not something that I'm going to be able to do and perform at 60, 65 years of age, but I've been doing it for 30 years. We need medical benefits, and we need the opportunity to not have to worry about whether or not we're going to be taken care of because we're trying to put our effort in now. I am the exception, not the rule. That meaning, Oregon, I was paid better. I had better medical benefits, and I had better retirement benefits. I only say that because Alaska is where I want to serve, where my family wants to be. But as I said, I'm the exception. I have a wife who's a medical professional, and if we need her to supplement our income, she can. But we're not competitive in the job market. I think that's what everybody's here to talk about. And I believe that this reform could really start the ball rolling in a positive direction. I think, at least what I've seen, it's not just about getting warm bodies in the uniform. It's about getting the highly qualified, motivated, exceptional people brought to our state. We can't just depend on people that are here. We need to bring people to the state, and we can only do that if we are competitive. And if people that are coming here know that they're going to get taken care of.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn. Thank you for your testimony, and thank you for coming to work in Alaska after leaving the other states. Next up, Jim Stiers from Fairbanks.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. If you can state your name and affiliation and your two-minute testimony or less.
Gotcha. I'll be quick. This is Jim Stiers. I'm the fire chief of Fairbanks Fire Department. I'm also the vice president for Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. While I agree with all the testimony that has taken place so far, no need to repeat that. I'd like to give you examples of exactly what's taking place at our organization, the city of Fairbanks. We've always lost a certain amount of people to Anchorage Fire Department. They're a bigger department. They pay more, the same benefit package. But currently, we've always had... That's been a very small percentage. Currently, right now, I'm losing people the same percentage to Anchorage, but we're also losing to Lower 48. You heard Chief Hedrick talk about the West Coast, where people are really going right now. And the reason they're going there is because these West Coast cities are actually targeting people. They have buyers. They're taking our firefighters that we've trained, put our money, sweat into. They're taking them down there, and if they have 3 or 4 years with me, they come in down there with 3 or 4 years on the job. So currently, right now, I have a 6-year gap between my Tier 4 and Tier 3 individuals. We've never seen that type of gap before. And it's been increasing every year because we're having people leave at the retiring at the top, and then we're also having the Tier 4 individuals that are leaving not just the department but leaving the state. And I will leave it at that. Any questions?
Thank you, Chief Sarge. Can you explain the gap again, the Tier 3 and Tier 4 gap?
I had, for example, I would have a Tier 4 employee that has 5 years on the job, and my next employee would have 11 years on the job, which would be a Tier 3. I have a 6-year gap there between Tier 3 and Tier 4. Because as my Tier 4 individuals are getting 4 or 5 years on the job, that's when they're leaving and going outside to the Lower 48.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And thanks for calling in. Next up, Randy McClellan from Anchorage. If you could state your name, affiliation, and your two-minute or less testimony.
Okay. Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Randy McClellan. I'm the president of Alaska Correctional Officers Association. I'm also a sergeant in the Department of Corrections, currently at Highland Mountain Correctional Center. And I'm speaking today in support of House Bill 79. Alaska has nearly 900 officers serving in 12 correctional facilities throughout the state. I myself have served as a correctional officer for about 22 years, working in multiple facilities. I'm calling to testify from my personal experience on the job and as my position as the president of the association for the last 8 years. This is a profession where experience matters, and we have a dangerously high turnover rate. Working in the world of corrections is tough enough with assaults on staff and more. We need a retirement system that makes sense, that will enable the state to keep experienced correctional officers. A system that incentivizes officers to stay, not encourage them to leave after 5 years. I can't tell you how many times I and others have heard new officers say they just want to get their five and check out. They're gone. Their current system encourages officers to pick up and leave at the five-year mark. The fact is, we're losing correctional officers at record numbers, over 120 officers a year. Between fiscal years 13 and 17, over 600 correctional officers separated, which is over 60% of the current workforce. Data shows losing a single trained and certified Alaska correctional officer results in the loss of an estimated $130,000 that the state invests to recruit, train, and certify that officer. The loss of about 120 correctional officers a year means the state is needlessly spending approximately $16 million a year. Additionally, properly staffed and safe institutions would equate to cost savings for the DOC. The state spent $6.9 million on overtime alone in fiscal year 18. House Bill 79 is necessary to improve officer morale, increase safety and security in the institution, and combat correctional officer fatigue and burnout leading to poor retention in the DOC. Thank you very much for your support and passing this important recruitment and retention legislation.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Ms. McClellan. Thank you for your testimony. One more online for now. David Schneider from Fairbanks, if you could say your name, affiliation, and your two-minute or less testimony.
Yes, sir. My name is David Schneider, and I'm with the Fairbanks Airport Police and Fire. I am. I've been up here for 9 years. I'm just a week and a half shy of my 10-year mark. And unfortunately, I'm one of those Tier 4 guys that's out and looking around to try to find if there's something that's out there that has actually defined a pension program. With this job, it's hard on the body. We've got an extra 40 pounds of gear that we normally wear on a day-in, day-out basis. That's the equivalent of running around clinically obese for every day that you work. And over the course of a 20- or 30-year career, that's very hard on the body. So it's one of those where you can only do this job for so long. If I was a school teacher, I could do it until I was 60 or 70. But as a cop, it's we've got one or two officers that are in their late 50s, and they're definitely looking forward to the day that they can retire. But I would like to thank Representative Kopp for putting forth this bill, and Mr. Chairman for allowing us the opportunity to go ahead and give this testimony. One of the things that we're noticing up here in Fairbanks is the constant brain drain that we're getting for the Tier 4 employees. Most of them are getting 3 to 5 years. We encourage them to stay 2 to 5. Then they vest, and then they bounce out of the department, normally going towards the lower 48 or towards federal jobs that actually still give retirements. And I was one of the guys that was kind of stubborn, and I love Alaska. I love this job. It is one of the best jobs I've ever had in my life. And so it's very hard for me to start looking around and looking for something else. But at the age of 42, I have to start looking towards the future for myself and my family, and looking at the long-term viability of having a good retirement for myself. But with that, we're potentially going to lose another. We just lost an officer a couple of weeks ago that had almost 9 years with the department. He went to the lower 48. With myself, I'll have almost 10 years, and the department might be losing me, so that's a lot of brain drain that we're having here. Then there's also the cost that's been mentioned before of replacing us. Every 5 years, if they leave when they vest, that's about $190,000 to train an officer. So over the course of a 20-year career, that's another $760,000 that we're going to be spending as a state to train an officer. If they stay for 25 years, that's almost $1 million that we spend just in training to train their replacements.
Thank you.
Versus having a pension plan.
Mr. Schneider, I hate to cut you off, but there's a lot of people testify. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir.
But let me ask a quick question. You've had 10 years experience. If this bill were to pass, would that affect your decision as far as looking for jobs outside?
It would, sir.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I love Alaska and I love this job. I was born and raised here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Next up, we'll ask Christopher Carnes to come in from in the room. State your name, affiliation, 2 minute or less testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Christopher Carnes, and I'm affiliated with the Juneau Education Support Staff, also known as JESS. I want to thank the members of the committee for this opportunity to speak today regarding HB 79. However, in targeting only first responders, HB 79 draws a needless distinction between first responders and other public employees. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I do not out of hand reject the idea that first responders ought to be treated with special consideration. Indeed, their job is of a special and extreme nature. I worked for some years with the National Alliance on Mental Health as a specialist on matters of suicide prevention and intervention. So in addition to the very real and ever-present risks to their physical safety, I know firsthand of just a small portion of the mental and emotional burden first responders must contend with, and it is immense. But if we are to open up the question of restoring a system of defined benefits to some public employees, it seems to me we miss an opportunity not first to consider the question of restoring a system of defined benefits to all public employees. After all, we ought not only to consider what problem a return to defined benefits would address for first responders, but whether it is a problem unique only to first responders. And if in targeting just first responders, we lessen the effectiveness or viability of the proposed solution. We all understand that Alaska is a unique and sometimes difficult place to recruit and retain employees. I have no doubt that offering peace officers and firefighters a defined benefit system would alleviate some of the challenges associated with their recruitment and retention, but all public institutions in Alaska have difficulty with these matters. As a firsthand example, at the Juneau School District, we're currently in contract negotiations. I recently saw a chart of the number of employees that occupy each cell in our support staff salary schedule. What immediately struck me about this was that there was a kind of longevity polarization. Some of the other people testifying mentioned something similar. Plenty of people had 15 to 25 years of service, and plenty had 1 to 5 years of service, but there were very few who had in that middle ground. And in fact, of our 330 members, approximately half of them have less than 6 years of service. In my opinion, retaining staff in any institution is the key to accomplishing more with less. And in the current budgetary environment, that is the very challenge that public employees are faced with. Without personnel providing institutional through lines, prior mistakes will be repeated, and training will eat into efficiency. Any form of retirement is a closed and self-funded system, by which I mean, I greatly simplify to mean that in a defined contribution model, an employee's own contributions fund their retirement, whereas in a defined benefit model, the contributions of those still working fund the retirement of those who have retired. It seems to me then that the fiscally responsible return to the defined benefit would be a model in which the number of employees paying into the system is as broad as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Kent. I hate to cut you off.
I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony, and your point doesn't go unnoticed. And,
thank you. And,
Travis Wolf.
Hello, my name is Travis Wolf.
Thank you.
I am the president of the local IFF 4303 here in Juneau, Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing this bill, and the committee members for listening and discussing this very important issue that firefighters, police officers, and everyone in the state that's in public service has. Most of the things I've had to say have been said very clearly by members here, so I won't belabor the issue. I do want to make sure I thank President Tom Westcott of the AKPFFA and, of course, Representative Pop for his amazing work on House Bill 79. I'm here to speak in support of 79 on behalf of the IFF Local 4303. We support House Bill 79 to return firefighters, police officers to a defined benefits plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we go to Doug Schrage from Fairbanks. Chief Schrage.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Well, I'm here to Doug Schrage, and I am speaking on behalf of the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. And I basically don't have too much to add to the conversation, adding my voice to the chorus of people that are in support of this. But I do want to say that the problem is real, that you've heard about. While it's, of course, well and good to look after our employees and for their pensions, I have two sons that are firefighters in Alaska, so I, of course, have a vested interest. But besides that, what this constitutes is a genuine management problem. And I think that's the reason that you're hearing unanimous support from the fire and police chiefs across the state. This, what you haven't heard so far is that this is especially difficult on the smaller communities for whom losing just a single firefighter can challenge them to maintain their day-to-day coverage. And it, and as has been said, this is happening in part because departments from, in particular, the Pacific Northwest are headhunting right here in Alaska. And so this is a time when our state already has a problem with out-migration of residents, and this problem is only adding to the problem. So during the current budget climate and the state of affairs. So I would like to just conclude by thanking the sponsors for bringing this bill forward, to those that have worked so hard to get it to this point, and to the committee for hearing it today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Schrage. Thanks for calling in. Next, we have Steve Nelson, State of Washington Law Enforcement. Mr. Nelson, you're on the line. Can you identify yourself and your affiliation?
Yes, Chair Wolf. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
My name is Steve Nelson. I'm the Executive Director of the Law Enforcement Officers and Firefighters Plan 2 Retirement Board in the state of Washington. Our plan represents all of the full-time law enforcement officers and firefighters in the state. We currently have 18,000 active members, 5,000 retired. We were established in 1977. Today we're a $12 billion plan. We're 109% funded, which ranks us as among the most successful DB plans in the country, according to the National Association of State Retirement Administrators. I've reviewed the presentation that Flick Fornia made to your committee a couple days ago and was willing to point out a couple of similarities between the proposal and the provisions that we have in Washington, and I'd be happy to answer questions as well.
Mr. Nelson, also, I know you're invited to testimony, so go ahead, continue on.
We have a cost-sharing arrangement as well. In Washington, it's 50-50. Half the contributions are paid by the members and the employers. The proposal that you have before you is very similar in that respect. We also have a five-year final average pay period, which has been successful in Washington in preventing spikes in salary at the end of a person's career that can impact the projected liabilities. The retirement age that you have is also similar to ours. Conservative actuarial assumptions, annual actuarial valuations, those all rank among best practices for DB plans, and our benefits are just slightly more modest than yours in the proposal, but that also has proven very effective here in Washington. Again, we've been in business now the plan's been in existence now for a little over 40 years, and we have remained fully funded the entire time.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson, and thank you for that. We have some questions. And is your fund law enforcement and firefighters, or is it how many are in your, you said, can you go?
18,000, and it is both law enforcement and fire.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hannon.
Thank you. Through the chair. Mr. Nelson, At the time of its creation and currently, do other public employees in Washington State have a defined benefit retirement system?
Yes, they do. We have a couple of hybrid plans that members can opt into that have both a defined contribution and a defined benefit component to them, but we have no pure defined contribution plans in Washington.
Follow-up.
Can you tell me why in 1977 then law enforcement broke away from the, I assume there was a plan in existence before 1977 that might have incorporated additional categories of public employees, and what drove first responders, police, and fire to a separate pension system?
Yes, we had a statewide police and fire plan that was created in 1971. And it became quickly apparent that the benefits that were provided in that plan were not financially sustainable. So the Plan 2 was created in 1977 for all law enforcement officers and firefighters hired after that date.
Follow up, Representative Hayes.
Can you tell me the number of years your employees must have to retire in your system?
We have a normal retirement age of 53 with any years of service, and then you can retire as early as 50 with 20 years of service, but you take an actuarial reduction.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson, for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Matthew Presser. We have about 20 people, and maybe I might have to go a little bit less than 2 minutes. Mr. Presser, are you on the line? Can you identify yourself and your affiliation, your testimony?
Yes, sir. My name is Matthew Presser. I'm from Anchorage. I'm calling in as a citizen and a member of the Public Safety Employee Association. I've worked at the Anchorage Airport Police and Fire for about 5 years. I'm a part of the Tier 4 retirement system. My statement, much of this has been covered by some other callers. However, I would like to say that defined benefits, they work to keep people like me here working for the state. It provides a sense of long-term financial stability. I know this firsthand because there's a large age disparity in my department. The officers who are part of the Tier 3 system, there's generally an age gap in between them and the Tier 4 officers. This disparity comes from us Tier 4 officers leaving employment at that 5-year mark. Of course, the 5th year is when we become fully vested. I can testify firsthand that I've looked at other departments. I've looked at Kings County Sheriff's. I've looked at some other Washington departments. We talk about this at the station all the time. There's other people that I used to work with that they've left for out-of-state employment. You know, those who maintain their services, first responders, they tended to leave for a benefit system which provided better security for them and their families. And there's several other systems on the West Coast that we've all looked at that, you know, may enable us to better provide for ourselves and our families. I would also say that when people leave, it creates a huge strain on those of us who do stay. I personally, as well as several other officers I work with, they've been made mandatory to work their weekends, work on their regularly scheduled off days, just to fill the void that's left by those who've departed. I know that defined benefits for first responders that keep more quality people like me employed within the state and provide us with peace of mind. I respectfully ask members of the Labor and Commerce Committee vote in support of this House Bill 79. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Presser. Thank you for your testimony. Next, Justin McGinnis from Glen Allen.
Good afternoon. This is Justin McGinnis, Alaska Wildlife Troopers in Glen Allen, Alaska. Thank you, Representative Kopp, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to testify. Thank you both for your work on developing this bill and moving it forward and putting it before the board today. I'm a 9-year trooper with the Tier 4 system, and I've heard a lot today about how hard this job is on a person, both physically and the stress that's caused. And that is kind of the crux of one of the concerns, or a couple of the concerns I have with the bill in its current form, the age requirement to retire. Some of us will hit 20, we're up before we're 55 years old, and have to wait to collect and enjoy the pension we've earned. I would request we come back and make some adjustments to this. In addition, the medical, the absence of medical, again, speaks to what we've been hearing as far as testimony. And then lastly, if they're an equitable way of buying into this, I think it's going to be tough to implement that across the board. So those three things, I think, are worth revisiting before we move forward and pass this bill. I think in the interest of accomplishing our goals of recruiting and retention, we ought to make sure we get this right. Thank you for your time, folks.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we go to Fairbanks, Russell Dennis.
Hi, this is Russell Dennis with Fairbanks Fire Department Air Union. I just want to give you guys kind of an example of what's going on from my perspective. I came into the fire service through Esther Volunteer Fire Department. I've been there 9 years now, and there we have a program that uses our living space as an incentive for folks from the University Fire Department to come and volunteer here. And they use this place as a stepping stone in order to gain some experience and get promoted and get some training so that they look good on an application. And a lot of them go to Anchorage, some of them go to Fairbanks. I myself came from Esther and went to Fairbanks. And the university fire department is one of the top-tier university departments that trains people and sets them up for a successful fire career. But, after my 9 years of experience, I'm seeing something new, that is these people are coming to Esther and then either skipping Fairbanks altogether because of this unattractive situation we find ourselves in with retirement, or using Fairbanks as a new stepping stone, which it was not being used that way before. We've got guys who are looking at leaving. Amongst all the members, we share advertisements for jobs in the lower 48 that offer better retirement plans, and it's super worrisome to watch that happen. I know of several people with whom I work who are absolutely looking at this as the kind of last straw, and if this goes through, they'll stay. If it doesn't, we're looking at them leaving. We just hired 5 new guys, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with them.
Mr. Dennis, I hate to cut you off, but we got to keep moving. But thank you for your testimony. And
that's great. Sure.
Thank you, and I hope we can get this through for you. Matthew Dubois from Juneau.
Yes, sir.
Name and affiliation.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yes, my name's Matthew Dubois. I work at the Juneau Police Department, and I'm a member of the Public Safety Employee Association. I've been an officer for 12 years here, all in Juneau. I can tell you that an average officer at my agency lasts about 4.4 years of service. In the last 8 years, we've lost 18 qualified and exceptional law enforcement officers to the lower 48. And some kind of refer to the state of Alaska as the farm system for the lower 48. The state of Alaska pays for the training and knowledge for these officers, and they go down south, and the departments down there reap the benefits of the state of Alaska funding them. We've had people from Washington State law enforcement agencies come from down south to Juneau to recruit our officers away from our community. They offer better benefits, to include medical, pension, better housing market, and then also the cost of living is a lot less. As everybody else has said, this takes a toll on our bodies and our minds. I've been assaulted multiple times in my career. I've had one suspect's blood in my mouth, which I later learned after being involved in a fight. I learned that he was had hepatitis B and HIV. And so I just ask that, this bill is considered to take care of the future of Alaska. Men and women in public safety put everything on the line every day, and we need to return the favor in taking care of them. I guess my concerns going forward with Tier 4, eventually, State of Alaska has never seen this, but eventually there's going to come a time when everybody's a Tier 4 employee. There's no, I guess I've heard the term of gold handcuffs to keep people here. Once everybody comes Tier 4, what are we doing to keep these people here? The supply and demand for law enforcement and the recruitment and retention issues are huge across our nation, and we continue to lose officers and great Alaskans to the lower 48. I just ask that this bill is considered, and also to look at our medical, to take care of those that sacrifice so much for the great state of Alaska, and to give back to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dubois. Thank you for your testimony. Elias Lamb in Fairbanks.
Hello, this is Elias Lamb here.
Yep, thank you. And if you could name affiliation, and if you can keep it under a minute and a half, that'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with the Alaska Professional Firefighters and Firefighter Paramedic at the City of Fairbanks, and a Tier 4 employee.
Thank you.
Yeah, so good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank the committee for hearing our testimony today. I'm 26 years old, so I'm at that age where I really need to nail down my retirement. I'm excited by what H-79 is going to potentially bring to the table. I'm a lifelong multi-generational Alaskan. I grew up in Anchorage, moved to Fairbanks about 6 years ago. It would be, to be quite frank, it would just be tragic to be forced to leave the state for myself. But the sad reality is, without a defined benefit retirement system, I literally can't afford to stay here and retire at a reasonable age. With the defined contribution system currently in place, it's literally impossible for me to put enough money away in the fund to retire at a reasonable age. I've tried it, but the required $10,000 or so that you need to put in yearly doesn't really allow me to afford normal everyday expenses that take up a year. So the only option for me and other Tier 4 employees I work with is to look out of state where you're part of a defined benefit system and are paid similar wages. So this is causing a complete lack of incentive to stay here for multi-generational Alaskans like myself. Currently, all departments are experiencing lack of ability to retain here in Alaska. I see this every day when I go to Fairbanks Fire, where it's unusual for anyone to stay longer than 2 to 3 years, maybe five, before they're looking out of state. So this bill means a whole lot to me because it's my livelihood and my future. If passed, it'll allow me to stay in Alaska for my career, which I really want. Right now I'm looking at employment in Washington, California, and I really hate to do that. But it's kind of required in this field.
Mr. Lamb,
here in Alaska.
I'm sorry. But thank you for your testimony. And
no problem. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you. Cody Carver, Washington. If you could state your name and your affiliation and your testimony, Mr. Carver, under 2 minutes, please, under a minute and a half.
Yes, sir. My name is Cody Carver. I'm a firefighter with the Bellingham Fire Department here in Washington. And I've been a firefighter for 9 years now. However, I was born and raised in Soldotna, Alaska. In 2009, I moved to Fairbanks, Alaska to work at the University Fire Department and to go to paramedic school. After this, I moved to Juneau, Alaska to work for Capital City Fire and Rescue, where I was a career firefighter paramedic for 1.5 years. I then worked with the Anchorage Fire Department for nearly 4 years as a career firefighter paramedic. AFD is the department that I wanted to work for, Anchorage Fire Department. I wanted to work for and retire from. That's where my friends and family are. However, after educating myself more about what the Tier 4 retirement system had to offer for a pension and disability, I decided to explore my options in the Washington area for two reasons. One, the uncertainty of a defined contribution retirement plan, and two, what if I get injured on the job and I can't return to work? Tier 4 retirement system will not support you, and I've witnessed this firsthand. There are many departments in the Washington area that offer lateral job openings, which means they're looking for experienced firefighters, and that's what I did here in Bellingham. And there's perks for both the firefighters and the city with this. Lateral firefighters generally have higher wages compared to entry-level job openings. You get more sick leave in your bank, you get vacation days. And that's appealing for someone in my position who is starting over with the new departments. The city will also save money since these lateral academies may only have six-week academies like mine here in Bellingham compared to my entry-level academy that was 3 to 4 months, similar to how mine was in Anchorage. There are many departments in Washington that offer comparable pay, good benefits, and a pension with disability, and that's why I'm here now. And really, to put everything in perspective, if there was a pension for Tier 4 members, I would have never left the Anchorage Fire Department. I'd still be there right now. Still be there now with my friends and family.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. If you have any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you. Mr. Anderson from Bethel.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Thank you to Mr. Chair and to Representative Kopp and everyone involved in moving this legislation forward. I'm encouraged and pleased that we're moving toward a defined benefits retirement for state troopers. I believe we need a sustainable and adequate defined benefits for retirement to increase retention and recruitment among state troopers. I'm a state trooper of about 6.5 years experience, and I'm a Tier 4 employee. And all that being said, I do have several reservations about the legislation as it is currently written. The main problems I see with the Tier 5 scheme, as we're calling it, or the fix, are these. Number one, members may end up contributing more money from their pay to retirement. Number two, new members and Tier 4 members who switch over would have to wait until at least age 55 with 20 years of service to start receiving a pension, while Tier 4 allows for withdrawing from Tier 4 accounts penalty-free starting the year they turn 50. And three, there's no better medical benefits with Tier 5 than with Tier 4. I'm currently eligible to withdraw from Tier 4, you know, the year I turn 50, and I'll have 25 years on by then. And I have every confidence that the markets will deliver returns that will lead to a comfortable retirement. Tier 5 would offer me a later retirement, no better medical coverage, possibly increased contributions from my salary. As I see it, the only thing Tier 5 offers apart from Tier 4 is a guaranteed check, which appeals to those who don't have faith in good market returns, returns which the pension system itself depends on for insolvency. I recommend that at a minimum this legislation be amended to include medical coverage on par with Tier 3 and a retirement at any age with 20 to 25 years of service. As written, I believe that Tier 5 will be an unattractive option for most of my peers and the state troopers, and will not lead to greater retention within the state troopers among those who are already Tier 4 employees. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Thanks for your testimony. We go to Fairbanks, Shay Hallett. Shay, are you on the line?
Oh, is this for Shay?
Yes, for Shay. Are you there?
Sorry. Something said it was unmuted. This is Shay Hallett. I'm the from Fairbanks Airport Police and Fire. And I'm also the Fairbanks Vice President for the Airport Police and Fire Chapter with PSEA. I'm just calling in support of this bill. I'd like to thank Representative Kopp for introducing it and Chairman for hearing us today. Our department has been a revolving door since I've been there. I've been there for the last 5.5 years. I actually have over 15 years in with the state. I'm a Tier 3 employee. I will tell you that the reason I have not left state to pursue employment elsewhere is because I am Tier 3. I do have my eye on that prize for going the full 25 to get medical. Our department has 21 officer slots, 4 sergeants, and 1 deputy chief and a chief. So we have 26 people who count for manning. We currently have 5 officers in training and 2 open positions. So we're currently operating at 27% down at our department. We have everyone who's in training does not count for manning. I think there was a slight misspeak earlier when Officer Schneider was testifying. It actually cost $262,000 the first year to train a new officer with our department because of all the certifications we have to go through. So when we lose people after a year or two, which is extremely common, it's costing the state over $250,000. We're training our officers for other departments, whether that's within the state or with leaving the state. The one that we just lost 12 days ago went to Vancouver, Washington, PD, higher wages and a defined benefit retirement system. So
thank you, Shay. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for your testimony. Next, we go to Lane Wraith from Wasilla.
Hello, this is Lane Wraith. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, Lane Wraith. I'm with the Alaska State Troopers. I've been a state trooper for 9.5 years. I'm currently working in Western Alaska, assigned to St. Mary's. I really appreciate Representative Kopp for putting this forward. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for giving me the time to speak. There's two things that we keep hearing about, and they're recruitment and retention. Retention has been covered in depth. To me, the most important thing about recruitment and retention is experienced law enforcement officers. We can recruit experienced law enforcement officers if we have a defined benefits retirement, and we can retain them. As a Tier 4 employee, I think there's 3 or 4 people left out of my academy. I think 16 of us graduated. There's only 3 or 4 of us left. And most of them have moved and are working for other agencies now. Recently in the Matsu Valley, there's been several troopers that have moved out of state to Lower 48. And one of them I was speaking with, and he said that his department is actively recruiting Alaska State Troopers because we're well-trained and the troopers don't have a defined benefit program. You've heard from a couple other state troopers. You would all love a return to Tier 3, and if that's an option, I'm all for it. But as far as I'm concerned, this is a great step in the right direction. I think it's so important that we try to retain, and somebody else said it, the whole golden handcuff. With Tier 4, you train up, and almost any department in the United States will hire us. And some departments pay better. They have better benefits. But really, people come to Alaska because they want to stay here. And I'd love to stay here. I have a wife. I have 3 boys. We love it here. Being a trooper is a great job, but it's a very difficult job. We go to calls by ourselves where most departments would require 2 officer minimums. We handle complex felony investigations by ourselves out in the village. That's a difficult job, and it's a very taxing, stressful job. And the security of a defined benefit, it's an incredible incentive to stay here with the state troopers. And we just strongly encourage you guys to support this bill, to move it forward. Thank you so much for hearing it. Thank you so much for taking this seriously. This is a crisis in our state. I want to thank everybody else that called in and supported this as well.
Thank you, Mr. Wraith. Thank you for your testimony. We're going to go to Fairbanks, Peter Hobaker.
Yes, this is Peter Hobaker.
Can you state your name, affiliation, and 90-second testimony, please?
Yes. If I heard correctly, you want me to spell my name?
No.
Peter Common.
No, just say your name and your affiliation.
This is Peter Hobaker. I'm calling on behalf of myself, but I am an employee with the Fairbanks Airport Police and Fire Department. And I wanted to thank the chairperson for allowing me to speak today. I've been a state of Alaska employee. I've been in the PERS system for 12.5 years now. I am Tier 4. I've been with the current department for 5.5 years now. Since I've been here, I can count, I don't think I'm including everybody, but I count at least 9 or 10 officers that have moved on. Two in particular, just in the last 4 months, really stand out because both of those left because of retirement. Retirement was the reason they left. One of those officers, they were with our department just a little over a year. He was just fully trained up, and I think you've heard testimony on the amount of money and training it takes here. Over a year of training with the fire and police and all the certifications. He left because of retirement. That was the main motivation for him leaving. And then we lost an 8-year member of our department, 8 or 9, I'm not certain. We lost him just within the last week or so. So both of those are a loss for the state and our department for different reasons. The officer that left is 8 years. He took 8 years of experience with him. The other gentleman that left, the state didn't really get any return whatsoever out of him. We all spent a year training him up. The state spent all that money training him up, and then he left. So, like I said, that just really illustrates the point. I'm a field training officer here with the department, and, you know, I see this, and personally it's quite frustrating, all these people we train, and they just move on. Another point I wanted to make real quick is...
Mr. Harbaker, I'm going to have to cut you off unless you can wrap it up really quick.
Well, I will say that it takes about 5 years to be a truly competent police officer that sees a little bit of everything. And currently, that's when you're fully vested with a Tier 4 and able to move on. So it's just when a trooper or a police officer is truly valuable, that's when they're able to move on and take everything with them. So thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out, and thanks for your testimony. I'm going to go to Mr. Samuel Weber in Kenai.
Yes, hello.
Yep. Mr. Weber, you state your name and affiliation and your 90-second testimony.
My name is Samuel Weber. I'm testifying on my own behalf today, although I am a 10-year trooper stationed in Soldotna right now and a current PSEA member. I'd like to thank the committee and Representative Kopp, obviously, for considering HB 79. I do think that this is a solid step forward. I can be honest about my initial impression when I reviewed it. I felt that it was turning us as Tier 4 employees, if we chose to join, into blood donors into a Tier 3 system that was quickly bleeding out. I had a chance to further review all the supporting documentation, speak to some of the architects that put this together, people that had a little bit more knowledge about it, and my opinion has changed. I do feel that this has been put together. It's relatively solid, and there's a pretty low chance that it's going to turn into an unfunded liability for the state. Ultimately, I don't know necessarily that it's something that would be appropriate for me, where I'm at right now at a 10-year stage, to transfer over, and I still don't know until I do further research. But ultimately, I think that objectively, when you look at it, the goal here is recruitment and retention for public safety personnel. And I think that this bill is a fantastic start and will be a positive step towards the recruitment of new hires and the retention of new hires as we go forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Weber. Robert Bentler from Anchorage.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You can give your name, affiliation, and testimony.
Yes, my name is Robert Bentler. I'm affiliated with PSEA. Currently work for Anchorage Airport Police and Fire Department. I'd just like to thank everybody for your support in this bill. In 2006, we've seen a huge change in steady employees, a big reduction in steady employees. People have been leaving the state after this, in search of better benefits. As a recruitment officer for our department, every job fair I go to, I talk about our job, try and recruit people, and I see their faces, turn when I tell them that we don't have any kind of defined benefits. Most of the applicants or potential applicants, end up walking away. Throughout our department and, the statewide system, other officers all over the place, they constantly talk about other states offering better benefits like we've been hearing today. Washington have won. I have no intention of leaving Alaska for those benefits, but there's so many other officers that are, when we see it all the time, like Fairbanks Airport, they just lost one, for better benefits. Roughly $250,000 for our department to train, recruit, hire, and train an officer and get them released on their own. That's an outrageous amount of money. Not to mention the fiscal year 2018 was $820,000 in overtime spent from our department alone, just because we don't have the manning. We can't fill that manning, those empty spots, because of, no retirement benefits, nothing comparable to lower 48. So it's very difficult for us to keep moving and doing the job that we do. Police, fire, both, one or the other, it doesn't matter. Without solid retirement benefits, it's going to keep getting worse and worse, the farther we go, without changing back to a Tier 3 type system. So with that said, really like to thank you for all your support in this and listen to what I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Bentler. Shane Westcott in Anchorage. Shane, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. My name is Shane Westcott. I'm a three-year firefighter paramedic with the Anchorage Fire Department. And just keep this brief. I'm a longtime Alaskan. I worked for multiple fire departments in the state, University, Fairbanks Fire, and now Anchorage Fire Department. My lifelong goal has been to work and stay with the Anchorage Fire Department, but due to Tier 4 and the retirement system, I'm being forced to look elsewhere. I've had multiple friends leave the state for other departments in the Pacific Northwest. And just to give you guys a reality of the situation, me being having 3 years of experience as a trained firefighter paramedic for AFD, I've received multiple letters in the mail regarding lateral positions at other departments in the Pacific Northwest that all had a defined benefits and better health care with similar pay. And I'm being forced to consider those options, even though I don't want to have to leave the state of Alaska. So getting this defined benefits retirement and this bill through would make me much happier and help the departments fix this retention issue that we have. And ultimately, I don't want to have to leave the state, but that's the position I'm being forced into at this point. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Westcott. Thanks for your testimony. Cody Fenton in Wasilla.
My name is Cody Fenton. I'm affiliated with the Public Safety Employee Association. I'm a 10-year veteran at the Anchorage Airport Police and Fire Department, where I'm a field training officer. I'm calling in today in support of the House Bill 79 to further provide defined benefits to our fellow employees and well-qualified state employees to continue to provide a well-staffed public safety group. We've seen at the airport several of our employees, three of them I can think of that have gone to other agencies outside the state of Alaska in the Pacific Northwest. Crime's not getting better, and we're losing officers. So I'd like to see that the state take a proactive approach in assisting officers and recruiting well-qualified people by offering a defined benefit program. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Fenton. Thanks for your testimony. Ernie Brent from Washington State, are you on the line?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Thank you for allowing me to testify in support of House Bill 79. My name is Ernie Brent, and up until 2 years ago, I was Alaska State Trooper and lifelong Alaskan, born and raised in Juneau. Although I'm currently not an Alaska resident anymore, I'm still part owner of an Alaska business and still consider Alaska my home. I accepted the position of Alaska State Trooper in February 2011. After completing the academy in Sitka, I went to work in the Matsu Valley, where I spent 6 years protecting the citizens and resources of this great state. I eventually left 2 years ago after accepting a position with the King County Sheriff's Office in Washington State. After working as a police officer elsewhere and interacting with police around the country, I can honestly say that troopers and all Alaska public safety personnel are some of the best trained, most professional men and women you will find anywhere. Four of my Alaska State Trooper friends and colleagues currently work as police officers within a close proximity to where I am now, and I'm in contact with another three current Alaska State Troopers who are in various stages of applying to agencies in Washington. These are seven extremely well-trained, professional, and compassionate officers, some of the best I've ever worked with. They all left or are leaving the state of Alaska, citing retirement as the largest driving factor. With no pension, as well as the state offering to pay for troopers' household moves when they're initially hired, officers are getting hired, getting the best training and experience of anywhere in the country, and then leaving, just doing their fire. I've seen this firsthand over and over. They can come down to states like Washington and Oregon, where they will be hired as a lateral officer, usually making more than an hourly wage with a pension. Over 48 departments are bending over backwards for quality applicants, and Alaskan officers have a well-deserved reputation of being the best because they are. Personally, I was given multiple competing office offers from various departments in Washington. Departments down here are offering $10,000 to $15,000 signing bonuses, and starting lateral officers can measure it with the number of years experience they already have. This all comes at a major loss to Alaska. Not just in money and resources to train these officers, but having some of the best ones leave. This is real and it is happening. I have worked with the best officers in the country in Alaska, and I know firsthand many have left because of the current tearful retirement. I want you to think about my family that still lives in Alaska, your family, and the families of all Alaskans. If there is an emergency occurring in your house with your loved ones, I think we can all agree we want the best public safety personnel responding. A pension will get us there. Thank you for supporting this very important piece of legislation, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Brent. Thank you for your testimony. Amanda Wraith in Wasilla.
Hello, my name is Amanda Wraith, and I'm calling from the Mattoo Valley, and I represent myself and my children. And I wanted to thank you, Chairman and committee members, for, I know this is a long day of testimony, but it's very, very critical to us who are calling in and to our state. I want to strongly express my support for House Bill 79. I want to thank Representative Kopp for his work on this bill and those who are co-sponsors of this bill for their support of those who place their lives on the line for our citizens in this state every day. My husband has served as an Alaska State Trooper since 2009. My husband and I love Alaska, and we look forward to raising our three sons here in Alaska. But as all Alaskans are aware, we are increasingly concerned with the level of crime and the lack of adequate support to recruit and retain well-qualified officers. We also continue to be concerned as we plan for our future and for retirement at some point. And we have watched many troopers leave Alaska for lower 48 jobs simply due to the fact that those jobs offer defined benefits. This is the major reason we hear from our friends as we say goodbye to those officers who are highly trained and experienced officers. Those who have been trained at great expense to the state of Alaska and who are tremendously valuable to our communities, to their fellow officers, because of their experience and expertise. Personally, I hate seeing my community have its safety jeopardized, my husband's safety jeopardized, by losing those experienced officers and possibly serving with fewer officers or less experienced officers. I have been alarmed to watch Mattoo Valley crime and the call volumes increase and the coverage decrease to the point of serious danger to every member of this community and every one of our officers.
Ms. Wraith, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up because we're running out of time here, but if you can wrap it up, that'd be great.
All right. Please support this bill as a responsibility to use our limited resources well. It's folly to use our tax dollars to train for other states who clearly see their value.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Wesley McQuillan in Anchorage, and we're almost done with our meeting, and we're almost done with our callers. So, Wesley McQuillan, if you're online, can you identify yourself?
Yes, real quick, just verify you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me, and I thank all those in support of House Bill 79. I am a Tier 4 employee since 2007. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, born and raised. I'm getting quick to the point here. It's hard to not look into private sector and out-of-state options that offer more competitive options in regard to the current issue at hand. The constant turnover that we do see at our department results in limited experience on the streets for taking calls, which can create some compromising situations for other officers that are more senior. I do believe that from the research that I have done, House Bill 79 is a sustainable option. I hope that that is truly correct and that we're able to make some headway on that. I do thank all of you for taking the time to look into this and hopefully see some action down the road on this. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Ben Endress in Seward.
Ben Endress, I'm an Alaska State Trooper, 10 years. I'm a Tier 4 guy. Previously served for 7 years at Glen Allen. 3.5 years later as the post supervisor, and I just want to give you my personal experience in an area out there where we are patrolling an area about the size of West Virginia with three troopers and a sergeant. We had a guy leave. One of our experienced guys left, went to King County, Washington. Unfortunately, there was nobody to fill that slot, so we went on for a year with one less trooper. So in that large area, the public suffers because of less troopers on the road.
the troopers suffer having to pull more overtime, pulling standby on their days off and additional standby shifts. It really burns people up. It burns them out and wears them out, uses them up. And he left for that pension. And additionally, his health benefits were completely employer-sponsored. I'm also the chairman of the PSCA Health Trust. We've aggressively tried to pursue options to lower the employee cost of health insurance. Currently, we're attempting a joint with ASCA and doing away with our PSCA Health Trust to try to get that better benefit. I've also served on the committee, the retention committee within DPS. And to a man, when we talk to folks, it's the pension. But on the DPS side of the pension committee, we were only discussing our monetary options. But continuing on from then and on to Seward here, trooper left from here in the year and a half I've been here, one trooper's left and gone to the state of Michigan, again, for a defined benefit contribution. So I want to thank the Representative Todd and the committee, and just really urge you to thank you for support and urge you to support this defined benefit retirement for law enforcement and fire. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Andrews. Thanks for calling. Thanks for your testimony. That's the end of our callers. Thank you. Some people had to drop off the line. I'm sorry we had so many people calling in. I guess that's a good thing. Representative Kopp, do you want to anything to say before the end of this meeting? I also just want to say that all these callers and testifiers in the room have really, really brought home the urgency and the need, and hearing some of these real cases of people saying how many people are leaving, how quickly they're leaving, the gap in the department between Tier 4 and Tier 3, and Representative Kopp? Hold on. Let me close public testimony. I'll figure this out one of these days. Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the patience of this committee and listening to all these voices. All these stories collectively tell and paint a powerful picture of what's happening in public safety in the state, what's happening to our people. These are our troopers, our police officers, our firefighters. These are our families, and they are getting ground down in the current system that we have, and we're not able to support them staying in Alaska. We're actually hearing good finance numbers too that show we're turning over tens of millions of dollars in training on a regular basis. It's going out of state. I think collectively, this legislation is carrying its own weight on the argument, not just on the people and the cost, but also on the impact financially. Mr. Chairman, I can't thank you enough, and also these fine men, Captain Case and Sergeant Jeremy Conklin here behind me with Anchorage Police Department Employees Association, all the firefighters you see here in this room, and they're just a few folks who could make it here today. There's a real need. I'm one of those guys that's blessed to have been retired under this system in Tier 2, but my son-in-law is not working here in Alaska today, so he has my daughter and grandson in Santa Monica because he does have a defined benefit there. I would love to have him home. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kopp. I can't reiterate enough how urgent and how pressing this is, and hearing all these stories and people saying they would stay if there was a defined benefit, and people saying they want to come back, and it's also a public safety issue, as one of the callers pointed out, that this is lack of experienced people in fire and in law enforcement. And so we will definitely have this bill back on Monday, March 25th. We'll have a full committee then, and let's hope. And we'll hear this bill again, and this meeting's adjourned at 5:06. Thank you all.